Good morning. I love the way it's listed in the bulletin because it says grace and redemption. And that's exactly what this story is. As Pastor said, for some time now, in his very kind and gentle but very persistent way, would say, kept asking me to share my testimony. Has it been maybe a year, 2 years? I don't know. It's been a long time. I kept saying, I will. I will. And I said, I will. All the while having difficulty believing that I could really, really do this. But then I would say, Pastor, I will probably cry. And he said, it's okay to cry. I thought, how do I put a journey of almost a lifetime into just a few words? And how do I share something that is so very personal? I now know that the courage comes from only one source, and that's from the Lord. Because it is not my story. It is his story. It is his story from the very beginning to the end. I grew up a preacher's kid. My dad was a Baptist minister. And I was not a rebellious preacher's kid. I loved the Lord. I loved going to church. I loved studying scripture. I loved my Lord. But at age 16, I became involved with a young man who was several years my senior. He was new to our church. The members called him Preacher Boy because he occasionally preached from the pulpit. He had a beautiful singing voice. And as a result of that relationship, I became pregnant, and at age 18, I gave birth to a little baby girl. I named her. I named her Melanie Marie, but of circumstances at the time, I could not keep her. I gave this little one up for adoption. I held her very briefly, and then she was gone. I silently celebrated each birthday with her. I wondered if she was in a loving home. Was she in a Christian home? Was she happy? Was she being treated well? As she got older, I wondered, did she marry? Does she have children? In the 60s, the time that I grew up, the social norms were very different than they are now. It was very, very shameful to have a baby out of wedlock. If you were in high school as I was, you dropped out of high school. And it reflected shame on you. It reflected shame on your family. And that was magnified by the fact that I was a preacher's daughter. You basically disappeared from view until the problem was resolved. It was either by abortion or by adoption. If one felt sorrow or repentance for your actions or for what, there was no talk of forgiveness or no talk of hope or redemption. So for 52 years, think about it, 52 years I grieved for this little one. I felt shame. I felt guilt. I felt regret. And I felt sorrow for my actions. I loved my Lord, and I knew what Scripture said about relationships. God so plainly describes in Genesis his design for man and woman, that their union is holy, that it is a reflection of Christ and his church. I knew that, and I grieved because I knew I had not honored that in this relationship. The guilt and the shame felt so heavy. I knew many verses about God's forgiveness, but I just couldn't take them in. I knew the words in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Or Psalm 103, he does not deal with us according to our sin, or nor repay us according to our iniquities. Just that line in itself is beautiful. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward us, toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. I read those words. I spoke those words. I taught those words. But I could not take them in for myself. I know Satan delighted in my sorrow. And God was so very, very patient with me. Before I tell the end of the story, I will tell you parts of the story because I want only for you to see that when I was alone in my grief and my shame and my sorrow, God was with me. He was with me. He was with me every single moment. I didn't see it, but in the midst of my struggle, I did not see his overwhelming grace. But now I know, and that's the part I'm going to share with you. To have to drop out of high school would have been the ultimate disgrace for me. I was well known in my high school. I had a leadership position in my class, and I started my senior year feeling scared beyond words. No one knew I was pregnant, not my family, not the father of this child, no one. After the first 6 weeks of my senior year, a significant event happened in our family, and we had to start making plans to move from Florida and Pensacola, where we lived, to back to Missouri, which was home for my parents. I left all of my friends who I had known, many of them since grade school. That was my growing up years. I enrolled in a new high school in Columbia, Missouri for the second 6 weeks of my senior year. And at that school, I knew no one. Thankfully, I had enough credits to graduate mid-year. And that's what I did. And so in looking back, I see that God, in his mercy, had given me the opportunity to leave my high school, not in disgrace, but with some dignity intact. God was with me, sheltering me. Even though I didn't see it, he was there. However, there was still the problem of my pregnancy. I had to share my predicament with my mother. My father in the interim had suddenly passed. Thankfully, she was sympathetic and she was never condemning. But plans were made for me to leave for a time. And again, God in his unbounding grace and goodness again was in charge. I didn't know it, but he was, and he prepared the way. It happened that my mother was good friends with a lady who had been a speaker at our church in Pensacola. They had developed a good friendship. She ran a home for unwed mothers in New Orleans, Louisiana. And that is where I was sent. And because she knew our family well, Melanie was placed in a home very similar to our home. Her adopted father was a Baptist seminary professor. Her mother was a music teacher, taught music and voice. And as it happens, Melanie has a beautiful singing voice. Do you see how God works? He was with me. I didn't know it, but he was with me. He was in charge, and he prepared the way. For several years, I had been praying. Now, we have four children. They never knew about Melanie. I could not speak it. I had been praying and praying and praying for God to give me courage and to help me know the time to share this story with them. By this time, they're all married. They live in different parts of the United States. And each time we visited, I thought, Lord, show me the time. Well, lives are so busy, and there was never seemed to be a time. But finally, on my 70th birthday, our four children gathered at our daughter's home to surprise me for my birthday. And while we had been playing cards and just sitting around the kitchen table, and we were started talking and just sharing, and Melanie came to mind. But that moment, I didn't feel fearful. There was such a peace in my heart that I knew God was saying, this is the time. So I shared with them the story of Melanie. And of course, they were surprised, to say the least, and but very loving and accepting. And just a side note, we have, out of our four children, our third is a daughter, and when she signs her name to cards or anything she writes, she always puts Jill, number three. And she said, but Mom, I still want to be number three. So she broke the tension or whatever, the seriousness of this moment, and which helped. But they immediately got their computers and started looking on the internet for her. Searching for an adopted child is very difficult. Many websites require you to fill out volumes of paperwork, to jump through many hoops, and before any possible contact can be made. We had been on the internet for several hours and could only find dead ends or processes that would take weeks. So we were rather discouraged, but then our youngest, see, this was only one evening and we thought we were going to find something, but our youngest son said, Mom, I think I found something. Our daughter had been on the same website and could find nothing, but these lines popped up. They were just there. My name is Melanie Elaine Douglas. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana on February 16th, 1962. I was adopted from the Sellers Home for Unwed Mothers. I am looking for my birth mother. And then she gave information for contacting her. And having those words just pop up was a true miracle. To this day, we don't know how we found those words. It just doesn't happen that way unless God is there and God is in charge. I believe that with my whole heart. I made contact with Melanie through email. And on that day, she happened to be home. She was sick and had stayed home from work. I got an answer from her quite quickly, and there were so many mixed feelings of intense joy, some confusion, and many, many questions. And we both wondered, could this be real? Eventually, we did a DNA test, and the results came back 99.99% positive. After a few weeks of long-distance communicating, Melanie and her husband came to visit. And another little side note, coming through Missouri, they were stopped for speeding. She explained to the officer why they were coming to Illinois, and he said, well, you just be careful so you make it there. There was so much to talk about and so much to share. But again, God's grace was present in this story because I apologized to Melanie for letting so many years go by. And she said, Mom, it was perfect timing. Because her adopted mother had passed away just 2 months earlier in November. This was January. Melanie suggested that her adopted mother would not have taken the news of finding her birth mom very well. She would not have particularly liked that news. Her adopted father had died of cancer when she was in her early 20s. She had been real close to her dad. And Melanie was feeling very, very alone again. But by the grace of God, and knowing he was in this story, Melanie now had a new family. We are so very happy and blessed that she is a part of it. Not only do we have Melanie, we have two grandchildren, Summer and Cody, who also came to visit. And Summer is married and has two precious little girls. In looking back, I have regrets. Many regrets. As a sinner, we rarely do things well. But I am overwhelmingly thankful for the freedom and the joy that I find in Christ. I don't know at what moment that veil was lifted and that I could clearly see God's deep abiding love for me, a love that wipes away all guilt and shame and allows me to live in peace and joy and hope. The moment that I could drink in God's abundance, grace, and forgiveness, and know without a doubt that he shares in our grief, our guilt, our shame, and know that he is with us. He is loving us, holding us, protecting us all along life's journey. I cannot help but shout his praises. And that is why I share my story, not because it's my story. It is his story through and through. I realized after I wrote this, I wanted to share a verse at the end, but it was the exact same verse I had in the middle. And I started looking and I thought, no, this is perfect. Because it says it all. And it's from Psalm 103. Besides, as a classroom teacher, I learned that we learn things better if we repeat them. So he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Amen and amen. That's my story.